coast to coast on the World Wide Web. This is Trot Radio on Standardbred Canada. He's known as Mr. OSS, but for most of us, we just like to call him Wally. Dave Wall is going into the Canadian Horse Racing Hall of Fame, and what a resume he brings to that prestigious hall. Most of us would say it's about time. It's an honor to honor on this edition of Trot Radio Hall of Famer Dave Wall. Wally, welcome.
Thanks a lot, Norm. I really appreciate the nice words. Kind of got a nice ring to it, don't it?
It certainly does. And it's well overdue. I mean, my goodness, you're almost like the Susan Lucci of harness drivers. You know, she's the one from that soap that never got the Emmy. Well, you know, you're overdue. Over 7,130 driving victories, 59 million plus in purse earnings. From 1982 to 2010, you earned $1 million in purses every single year. Mr. OSS, thanks to your dominance of that program. Yeah, I can see why the Hall of Fame voters had to think that one over.
I don't know how to say it. I really appreciate it, but it's been an honor. I know I'll never forget, and I know my family won't. Most of them are in the horse business, and they've been so good to me over the years that it's just kind of a way of showing them how I did try.
Well, last year you were inducted into the London, Ontario Sports Hall of Fame, and guess what? That puts you in the same league as one fellow by the name of John Campbell. How do you like that?
Yeah, that's right. And that was an awful nice honor, too. It was a real nice evening. I had my first granddaughter. I said to Dean, I said, make sure you take her. Mm. And point up and tell her that Grandpa would always be looking down on her.
Oh, isn't that sweet? That is real nice. Now, you are from Kamoka via Kincardine, which is the home of a lot of, and the area of a lot of great horsemen. It's interesting because you and two other guys from that same general area, if my math is right, have won more Lampman Cups than anyone else. There's you, Donnie McElroy, and Ross Batten. You've combined for 8 Lampman Cups.
Yeah.
How did it all start from you? You didn't come from a harness racing background. My understanding is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it makes for a good story, is that you used to drive by Mohawk or Greenwood, whatever it was, on your way because you were like a courier or something at the time as a young man?
No. How I got into the horse business was my dad used to take me out into the, used to be a bunch of Shetland ponies. Those days, Shetland ponies were worth a lot of money. And a guy raised them, and he had a bunch of them. I used to go out and ride them all the time. He'd take me out there. I wasn't very old, 6, 7 years old. And he kind of seen how much I loved the horse. So he actually bought me my first broodmare.
Was your dad a trainer or an owner?
No. He just knew that I loved the horses, and he bought it for me. But he stuck with me the whole time. He loved the horses. He would jog and train them and everything he got to. He got to love him. He worked at the hydro plant up in Douglas Point there.
Sure.
And he got to love the horses. He used to come down every weekend and spend it at our place and jog Saturdays and help me with the horses Sunday. And
isn't that something? And here's a guy who never really had any formal training in it.
No, and he loved the races. In fact, everywhere I would go, somebody'd say, "Where's your dad?"
Now, the story I always heard was that you used to drive by Woodbine or Greenwood, whatever it was, Mohawk. You dropped in one day. You never been to the races. You dropped a bunch of money, and you said, "I can drive better than these guys," and you decided to get into the business. Makes for a great story, but I'm glad you dispelled that for us.
Yeah, no, that never happened.
Now, I ask this of a lot of my guests when they look back on a storied career, so be ready for this one. What was the first, or rather, what was the name of the first horse you ever drove in a harness race?
I ever drove?
Yeah.
A horse called Royal Dawn.
Royal Dawn.
Yeah.
And was that your first winner?
It was.
No kidding, huh?
Yeah.
Where was it at, London?
Hanover.
Hanover. Good old Hanover.
Yeah, got to go up and... They're having a night for me in Hanover.
Yeah, well, it figures that they would do that for you because they appreciate classy guys. I know Gord Dugan is a classy guy himself.
Yeah, I seen Gord yesterday. We had a little. I was up there and led the post parade with Good Times up.
Oh, nice.
Day and then rode him.
Let me ask you this now that you mentioned Good Times. Good Times, staff director, Odie's Fame, between them, you won a Breeders' Crown, Maple Leaf Trot, a Frank Ryan, along with a North American Cup. If you had to pick a favorite, of those most beloved mounts, which one would you say it was?
Well, there were two different individuals. Good Times was everywhere you went, you got the best effort there was. He never realized that he was always raced against the best in the world. And Oldie's Fame was, I'll tell you something about Oldie's Fame, I think, had to put a feather in her hat. She won 3-year-old Pace and Filly of the Year in the United States. And I can remember Shaky Hunt. Did you remember
Jim
him?
Hunt, yeah.
Yeah, phoning me. That's the first time I heard it. He phoned me and told me that she had. And I said, oh, and he says, unbelievable. He says, that's the first Canadian filly or Canadian horse that ever won that award in the United States, never stepped once, never raced once in the States.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was. To me, I never heard of another one ever doing it. It's just,
No.
It was amazing. That's the kind of mare she was.
Let me talk about your OSS success for a moment. You're so good with the babies, and it's been a big contributor, obviously, I think, to your success and you getting the name Mr. OSS. Is there a secret or is there a wall method to handling babies similar, say, to that that you hear from, say, a Bud Burke? You know, something totally different? Or what's your approach?
I'm from the old school as far as training goes. Like I said a lot of times, I'd sooner be parked every step of the way and get beat than have a horse make a break. You know?
Yeah.
And never bothered me, but if they made a break, there's sure as hell something I'm not doing right, you know, like. So I always studied that. I always, it's nice to have a natural gait at one, but fooled around with a, you know, shoeing a lot. Used to change their shoes sometimes 2 or 3 times in a week.
Really?
And one year I trained 120 horses.
Wow.
And I know it was busy, but I had the best help a person could possibly have. I never, ever had to worry. They did all the worrying for me. They were the nicest bunch of people. I still get a lot of calls from them and a lot of talk about them. And to me, that's satisfaction. I don't care.
Well, you know, you're always one to pass the credit around, but let's face it, if you know, for that kind of success, as you said, you know, shoeing a horse 2-3 times a week, you've got to be a student of the game. You got to love the game, and this leads me to my next point/question. Last year was the only year that you hadn't won $1 million in earnings since 1982, and that was largely due to injury.
Yeah, I only raced till April.
Yeah, back in 2004, I believe, you nearly lost the use of an eye in a qualifying race accident, which I might add, finally got Western Fair to get rid of the hub rail. Despite all that pain and recovery, you keep coming back.
Well, you know, I've never done nothing more that I enjoy. If I couldn't get up, like I'm very fortunate. I got everything I want here on the farm. Everything that it takes to train horses, and I got room for mares and foals. If I couldn't look out the window, see the foals running around the field, I don't know what I'd do.
Not great.
There isn't a day go by. I do them every day. We feed them every day, and there's not a day that I don't know if something's not right, because I almost check. We check everyone every day some way. But it's nice when you can just walk out the door and you're there, you know.
Well, I think it was Churchill that said there's something about the outside of a horse that's so good for the inside of a man. You're living proof of that.
Yeah, oh my God, I just, truth is, I wouldn't know what to do. I've got laid up those few times there, and it just drove me nuts, but I've had people come out of the blue wanting to help, you know. That's the horse business.
That is, but you got to be a nice guy. And I'll tell you something. I'll tell you what. And of course, you would have no memory of this, but you did drive horses for me at one time. I had an obscure water tower, and you know this thing was not good. But you know, you'd come off the track, and instead of throwing the lines at our trainer saying, "Don't give me this piece of garbage," you know, nice horse, always complimentary.
Who trained it?
Oh, a fellow by the name of Al Steves, friend of mine.
I know Steve. I know Al.
Yeah, good guy.
Al Golf. We had our golf tournament Wednesday.
Oh, that's right. He'll golf a lot. He will.
Yeah, he was in it. Yeah. We had a great tournament. Unbelievable.
Well, let me tell you something, Wally. You're the example of how karma comes back in a good way because, you know, what you give, you get back, you know. let me tell you something, Wally. Even if the racing thing didn't work, you'd probably make a good living as a gin player.
Play a lot of cards.
Well, you could always be fleecing all these young drivers.
We have a blacksmith shop here that's more like a house. It's got everything in it there is, you know, like TV and microwave and the fridge, but all winter.
Mm.
Every Thursday we don't race.
Right.
They start coming about noon hour, and we play cards there till we all go home.
It's a wonderful life, Wally, and thank you for all that you give to this game, and if the game has a good name, and we know that it does, it's because of guys like you, and boy, is it ever going to feel good to say Dave Wall, Hall of Fame.
Thank you very much, Norm. I appreciate it.